On today's episode, we're going to be talking about transformation of a city, where you got some great people in here that are going to be talking about architecture. But it's not just architecture, because it's part of entrepreneurship. So we're here in the heart of Silicon Valley, and we're about to dive into it.
It's Mauricio Mejia live. Entertainment guru, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, author, and speaker. It's Mauricio Mejia live.
All right, guys, welcome to Mauricio Mejia Live, Season 3, Episode number 5. And today I want to welcome two very special guests, one that I've known for quite some time, Ramiro. And we have your job captain on today's episode of Mauricio Mejia Live, where we cover entrepreneurship, we cover business leaders, we cover people that are into innovation, into tech, and really just have a conversation about day-to-day life and what's happening. You know, currently the world is coming out of a crazy time, and I think that there's a lot of great opportunities. And, you know, Ramiro, we've known each other for, wow, let's go back, a minimum of 10 years.
At least 10 years.
We go back 10 years. I know that even actually, if we really think about it, one of our first projects was probably the Chachos.
It was the Chachos.
We were working with one of the founders, George Sanchez, on Chachos. At that time, yeah. I was a partner in that downtown, and that was one of our first projects. And then from there, we built a working partnership and then a friendship, and I've followed you since and have seen all the great things that you're doing. But before we could dive into all of that, we want to get a little background on you and what was the inspiration, where are you from, what inspired you to become an architect, and then you're talking about how, from what I understand now, you're also growing, and you're bringing in new team members, new teammates, and partnerships and all that good stuff.
Exactly, yes.
So, and then we're going to dive into downtown San Jose, Silicon Valley, and how you're becoming an influential part, and your company's becoming a big part of the transformation of the next downtown.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Marisa, for having the podcast.
Yeah.
Again, Ramiro Torres. I'm the owner of Top Architecture, and I'm here with Lisa. She's one of our newest hires and a great talent to have, you know, around the office. So a little background about myself. Good, interesting question.
Yeah.
How far back do you want to go?
No, right? No. We want to go from when you were a child. You know, I mean, what architecture is a form of art, and it has to inspire you, right? And and for you to take that on as a career, it
what happened? Right?
What happens? Yeah, you know, exactly. What is the trigger? I knew what made me want to get into entertainment was the excitement, the glitz and the glamour, the smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
And I knew what excited me. When I think of architecture, now I love architecture, but I when it comes to figuring things out, geometry, math, and all that, my brain starts to like, it doesn't feel sexy to me. But when I see the final products, when I see these beautiful buildings, the architecture, the what goes into it, takes a lot of brains, you know.
And
so
the amount of time it takes to, you know, to build something.
Yeah, the energy. I mean, I so go ahead and we're gonna dive into it because I know we got a lot of great things to talk about.
Yes. So let's go back a little bit, right?
Yeah.
My dad used to come to Gilroy as a farm worker in the 60s.
Okay.
And that's sort of where I started the journey with me even be here in the United States, right? So he ended up working at the farm in Gilroy, right? You know, doing farming. The landowner noticed that he was a really hard worker. So he said, oh, you're going to stay. You know, you're going to stay with me. So he sponsored my dad, which is really unheard of back in the 60s and 70s to have some rancher sponsor, you know, my dad, because he was a hard worker. He wanted him to stay. And at that time, we were all living in Mexico. You know, my family, all of us were over there. And
what part of Mexico is your family?
Jalisco.
Jalisco, okay.
So we're from a small town called Atizapan. It's about, back then it was probably 10,000 people, you know, a small town. And my dad used to come here as a migrant worker and then go back every 6 months, you know. Uh-huh. So he will spend the farming season here, go back to Mexico, and spend the rest of the year there with the family. Well, when he came, I think the a few times after I was born, he wasn't even there, right? So I was born. He met me when I was 2 years old, when he had enough money to go back and spend time with the family. During that time, that's when he got sponsored by the rancher, right? And it took a couple of years for the sponsorship to kick in. But at the end, we all got green cards. The whole family got green cards.
Nice.
So it was a big opportunity for all of us, right?
So how many in the family?
So I'm the youngest of 10.
Ooh!
Yes.
Mom and dad are busy there. Exactly. Wow, yeah, 10. Yeah. And you're the youngest.
I'm the youngest. So they don't have no TV. So anyways. They, what? They, 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 They made children for entertainment.
Oh my God! Wow. Okay.
But
loving family. How many? How many boys and how many girls?
Oh, you know, even so. It's
five and five, huh?
Five,
wow.
Yes.
Your dad was lucky.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm the youngest of all of them, and of course, I'm the youngest of the boys.
Wow. Okay.
So, that was a good thing that, you know, my dad got sponsored. You know, we all came. I think when I was in elementary school, like first or second grade. You know, yeah. So we all came. And we stayed for a couple of years only, you know, during that time of my life. Then the rancher decided not to ranch anymore for whatever reason. He just decided to stop. And my dad, you know, by then he had accumulated a little bit of money. You know, yeah. he had, you know, done well for himself. So we all went back to Mexico, and he bought a store, he bought some land. So he was, you know, doing well even in Mexico, right?
Wow.
So then
it's the American dream, right?
Exactly.
You come here and you work hard. And you either can stay mm-hmm. or you can go back to your country and reinvest what you have and make dreams happen over there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then I don't think my dad really ever wanted to retire in the United States. You know, I think his dream was to always go back.
Yeah.
So we all went back and when I finished middle school, secundaria in Mexico, it was eighth grade. There was really nothing else for me to do in that small town, right? So I had this options of going to the bigger city like Guadalajara and, mm-hmm. and continue studying because I liked to study. I liked to, you know, read books and get good grades. So there was something in me that I wanted to continue all the way to college, right? So my options back then were, okay, I go to Guadalajara. You know, I think one of my brothers had a house there. And I could enroll in the university and become an architect there. But then I also had this green card, right? Then I'm like, well, what am I going to do with this green card? And a lot of my family was already here.
So it's like the VIP card.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and, you know, when I was young, you don't know those things. You don't know that stuff. I just felt lucky that I had a green card and I wanted to come to the U.S.
Yeah.
And I had that option. So I decided to come here and say, you know what? I'm going to come for maybe a year or two. If I don't like it, I'll go back to Mexico. Because I was just so used to Mexico. I had only lived 2 years of my entire life here in the States.
Yeah.
And the rest of my life was in Mexico. And I came, and it's been, 35 years? I'm still here.
Wow. And you built a family. You built a business, exactly. a successful business,
exactly.
And now you're growing.
Yeah.
So,
but going back to your question of why architecture,
yeah.
why did I choose that career? In middle school, I was going to a middle school that was run by the government. It was a federal school. And based on the education system in Mexico, you had to take one sort of, not elective, but a career choice, you know, in middle school. And you had many options, right? You had to be an electrician, to be a carpenter, learn how to type, so you become, you know, somebody's secretary. You know, you had technical drafting, which is what I chose. So there was like five or six different vocational classes that the federal school taught everybody, right?
Yeah.
So I chose technical drafting. You know, I'm like, oh, that's kind of, you know, kind of cool. And I fell in love with it, right? So we started drawing mechanical parts. We started drawing many different things. A little part of that course was architectural design. And one of the requirements was for us to draw a house, you know, they gave us the plot of land and, you know, this kind of like the requirements or the program. And I finished it. I must have been, 14 years old, right? I finished it. I turned it into the professor and he questioned me. He's like, come here. I got to talk to you. I'm like, what's going on? I mean, think again.
Was this here in the U.S.?
No, this is in Mexico.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was about 14 years old. And back then there was no internet. You know, there was very little books out there in architecture. And he questioned it. He goes, come here, I got to talk to you. I'm like, why? What's going on? He goes, where did you copy this from? And I was like, what? He's like, yes, this is really good. There's no way you could have done this. No. I'm like, wow, okay. Well, I didn't question the professor because I was shocked by the, you know, by his statement.
Yeah.
But then it sparks an interest in me. I'm like, okay, this guy thinks that I copy this, right? But
yeah.
It came out of my brain. It came out of my head. I didn't copy it. So there's an interest there that sparked, right? So I graduated from secundaria, and that's when I decided to come to the States because there was nothing else in my town, right?
Yeah.
So I came to the States. I ended up in Gilroy with my family. I wrote in Gilroy High School. And because of that comment on my teacher, I'm like, well, let me take architectural drafting in high school.
That comment was what triggered the internal spirit, the internal mm-hmm. switch.
Yes.
I have a similar story where I talk about what turned on my entrepreneurial spirit was a gentleman out of Inglewood mm-hmm. who told me, son, keep doing what you're doing. And I was like, what? And I said, what am I doing? He goes, you got an entrepreneurial spirit. And then I asked the question, what does an entrepreneurial spirit mean?
Yes.
Just keep doing what you're doing. You're going to do great things.
Wow.
All right. 40 years later, I'm like, boom.
He's still doing it. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. No, so he turns on your spirit.
Turned on the switch, yeah. And I took another class, you know, architectural design. It was more specific to architecture in high school. And the same thing happened with the professor. At the end of the course, he you know, talked to me. He said, you know, you should do this a career.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, wow, that's interesting that two people that I don't know, you know, professors told me that I'm good at what I do, you know,
yeah.
at least at that early stage of my life. By then, I must have been in high school, so I was probably 16 when I took the architectural course in high school.
Yeah.
And the professor said, yes, you got to do this as a career. So I feel a little bit lucky, Mauricio, because, you know, from an early stage of my life, I knew that I wanted to become an architect, right?
Yeah.
So the rest was, you know, figuring out how to do that, yeah. Which was more difficult than I thought.
Yeah.
So after high school, again, Gilroy, you know, it's a nice little town, but it's still a little town in the south end. It's a farm town to me, exactly.
I mean, even though it is somewhat growing, it's Gilroy. It's 45 minutes south of San Jose. Yeah. It's the capital of the garlic world,
exactly.
Garlic City. That's okay. It's not for me, but yeah. Hey, no, I got love for Gilroy. So
I was there, and the next thing for me to do was to enroll in community college. So I enrolled in Gavilan College.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And during that time in Gavilan College, I talked to the professors, I talked to the counselors, and we sort of figured out a way, you know, for me to go into a four-year college, right? They told me you got to take these classes. You know, Gavilan doesn't offer, you know, some of this design classes, but at least here you could take your general ed, and that's what I did.
Yeah.
Then I came to West Valley, still living in Gilroy, to take my architecture classes.
Nice.
So, but I commuted. I was going back and forth, like, you know, 3 days a week. I kind of scheduled my classes.
That's a commute. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Wasn't as bad as it is today. So
it still took me a long time. Probably it was.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was really just applying to a lot of the universities and transferring to a four-year college.
Yeah.
By then, I think I had taken all the requirements in Gavilan. I had taken most of the requirements on West Valley. And part of the curriculum in West Valley and Gavilan, just in general, was to take art classes.
Nice.
So I took a lot of drafting classes, a lot of just freehand, you know, art, watercolors, painting. And I really want to say that in deep down, Mauricio, I'm a little bit of an artist, right?
Because yeah, well, it is. You have to be an artist. You have to be creative,
but,
you know?
But at the same time, I used to always get fascinated by architecture, right?
Yes.
You know, I used to spend countless hours in the library just looking at architecture books, all the way from the pyramids of the Aztecs, the Mayas,
yeah.
You know, the Parthenon in Greece, you know, the great pyramids of Giza. All the classical architecture you could think of, you know, I would just spend hours in the library looking at pictures of books, right? And so that interest was always there for me.
Yeah.
And then
were your parents? Did they have any influence in?
Not at all. So it was really it was really difficult. It wasn't easy. Imagine this. You know, I'm 14 years old. I graduated from middle school in Mexico. I come to the U.S. My parents stayed in Mexico. You know, my dad never came back. And I landed in Gilroy with two of my older brothers that could care less what I did, right? They just kind of provided, you know, food and shelter. And for them, it was like, you know, you study or you don't study or whatever. It didn't matter to them. They were in their 20s. They were
what were they doing? What do they do today?
So my oldest brother, he was always a roofer. So,
okay.
So he sort of stayed in the roofing industry.
Got it.
My other brother, he worked in insulation. You know, so basically trade.
Construction,
right?
Construction, construction trades,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So you were around it, except...
I was surrounded.
I can tell the difference. One wanted to get their hands and build... Mm-hmm. You wanted to design
exactly.
What is going to be built.
Exactly. So. And I saw the hard work of being a laborer, right?
Yeah.
And being in construction. And I told myself, yeah, that could probably be for me. But if I could actually use my brain to work, then that would be a better situation.
I'll share a quick story with that. Growing up as a child, my mom used to send me to the East Coast to my uncles. They had one of the largest pool building companies in New York.
Okay.
I mean, all the mega stars, all the mega mansions in the East Coast from the Virgin Islands, my uncles built a lot of those pools. And during the summer, I would go there, summer break. My mom would send my sister and I would go and work. And every time that I'd go there, I'd come back with something new. I wanted a brand new bike or I wanted something.
Yes.
So my uncles made me work for it.
Yeah.
And I remember what triggered me was I remember my uncle made me dig a hole for this retaining wall that needed to get done.
Yeah.
And I remember that after like 30 minutes, my hands started to blister up, you know, because I have baby hands. Huh? And I remember I at the end, my hands started to blister and then I popped them. And at a young age, I didn't know you don't pop those things, right?
Yeah.
And then I would peel the skin off and now I got raw skin. And I remember I started crying.
It hurts.
And it hurt. And I remember I walked up to my uncle and I said, Tio, I don't want to do this. He says, good. He goes, it's what I'm teaching you. He says, I want you to use your head instead of your hands, because I would see how my uncle's hands would be cracked and just the hard work, how they were breaking their backs, building these mega mansion pools. I mean, they made a lot. My uncles lived well, but they also worked very hard. And what they were teaching me at a young age was, you don't have to necessarily use your hands. Mm-hmm. Use your brains. And one of my mentors told me, Mauricio, don't be the hands that does the work. Be the brains that controls 100 hands. Mm-hmm. And that has always resonated in me at a young age. That's what has given me the ability to get to where I'm at today, right? So let me utilize as many hands as I can to build at the same time, help them build themselves as well. So it's kind of where we're at today. Yeah, I mean, we had this conversation the other day at lunch. You said something that I appreciate you. What you said is that I'm authentic and unique and honest about wanting to lift others.
Yes.
And especially in our community, right?
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
We have a crazy world we're in. And my goal here is to showcase, represent all varieties of entrepreneurship, but at the same time, help lift our Latino community up. So now you're going to...
So I'm going to community college. Yeah. You know the one thing that I would say that I always kept on was hit the books, right? Study really hard.
Yeah.
Because without doing that, I think the opportunities will be less, right? I mean, they'll still be out there.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it was one of the things that my dad always taught me, right? And the people around you got to study, you got to, study hard.
Yeah.
You got to get out of this, environment of the farm working, family industry in Gilroy. Yeah. You got to get out of this, right? And in my head, I want to get out of there too.
Yeah.
I mean, I was living with my brothers in this tiny house, all three of us, things were wild, right?
Yeah.
And to me, the only option that I had is to study hard and get out of there.
Yeah.
And I do remember that it wasn't a good situation, though. It was, the resources were limited. I was working, almost full time, if not full time, and still going to school. So it was not easy, right?
Yeah.
Somehow, I ended up completing all the requirements for transferring, right? So I applied to all the schools that offer architecture at the time. Berkeley, Sac State, I think, offered it. Cal Poly, UCLA, Burbank. I think I applied to 5 or 6 different schools. And I got an acceptance letter from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo to study architecture.
Nice.
So I didn't think about it twice.
It's one of the best schools, by the way. Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and then there's Cal Poly Pomona.
Pomona, yes.
I don't know what the rivalries are, but I know one of them is better than the other.
Where were the real Cal Poly? Come on, Marisa. You should know that.
I went to San Jose State, but Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, one of the greatest architectural schools if not the world. I mean, it's recognized worldwide.
Yes,
and it's crazy because you're in the middle of nowhere in California. It's actually they recognize now as it's a wine valley, kind of like a rival to Napa. Their wines are the only thing I know about Paso Robles is their wine.
So same thing with San Luis Obispo. It's a little town. But the School of Architectural Engineering is big,
Yeah.
I mean, I think the college at the time
heard it's a great party school too. So
people, yes, a great party school in the middle of nowhere, away from parents.
Yeah,
so you could do a lot of fun stuff.
So you get accepted.
So I got accepted, and I didn't think about it twice. I'm like, yes, I heard Cal Poly is a great school. I think that year I got accepted, it was number 3 in the nation for undergrad.
Wow.
I think for a graduate degree, it says Harvard or Princeton. But for undergrad, the year that I accepted it was right at number 3 in the nation. So, yeah, it's a great school.
Nice.
But again, I always felt that was kind of like the starting point, because the first day of class, they sat us down, 180 people, and people that just got into it, and they said, look to your right and look to your left, 50% of you will drop out of this program because it's that difficult,
Yes.
And I didn't believe it, Mauricio.
No, like, survival of the fittest.
I looked at it and I'm like, there's just no way that half of us is not going to make it to the program.
Yes.
And year by year, you saw less and less and less. They were absolutely right.
Yeah.
At the end of the 5th year, half the people had made it through. Other people just burned out.
Yeah.
Or, decided to do a different career.
Yeah.
Or, dropped out of college altogether because they couldn't handle the pressure, right? And here I am, a kid from, small town in Mexico, going to one of the best schools of architecture in the nation.
Yeah.
And getting the best out of it, too, because I would get good grades. I would be in the dean's list. And
nice.
Because of that, also, I applied to the international program, and we went to Italy for 6 months.
There you go.
To study architecture, the classical architecture I was talking about earlier, that for me it was such a big, dream and accomplishment that, man, the stuff that I used to see in books, in history classes, I'm here seeing it with my own eyes. Wow, what an experience. Right?
I always get blown away. I was in New York last year, and the architecture there, the buildings. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I can't imagine the details now, right? I mean, you can't build that detail today. It's too expensive.
Exactly.
Or there's a lot more different ways to do it now that is not real. Like, that's real chiseled, great carved out stone. I mean, it's real stuff. And the amount of
covering them with their own hands.
Yeah, and the detail, right? I mean, obviously, labor back then was a lot different than it is today.
Yes.
And it blows my mind. I mean, when I walk into some of the cathedrals and you look, I was in Ciudad de Mexico, City of Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a great place.
And I went to the cathedral there, and I was just mesmerized to see, like, just the architecture. And so that's inspiring to me.
Oh, yeah.
But that's as far as I go, right? As anything else, my brain just, again, starts. It's a multidimensional way of thinking. Because when you're thinking architect, it's not just a couple of lines on the, you know, you're not drawing a couple of lines here and then building no, there's a lot more that goes into it.
It's a lot. It's multi-level, multi-layer. You're right. So one of them is history, like I talked about earlier, right? You know, you got to know your history when you design. You have to know about, you know, society, right? What are people going to want and what spaces do they want to live? You got to think about, you know, art, right? The buildings to look good in all those levels, right? You got to think about engineering. How is this thing going to hold up and not fall to the ground?
Yeah.
So you got to consult with engineers, right? You got to talk to politicians.
See,
you
know, my head is already spinning already. I'm like, you know, it's multidimensional.
Multidimensional. And I'm still wondering why I'm still in the architecture, right? I enjoy it a lot. You know, I really enjoy what I do, and you know, like I said, we have great team members that help us produce what we do and build our designs.
Share with us one of your, you know, you've done many, many projects. What was probably one of your most favorite projects that you've ever done? I mean, and you've done a lot of different stuff.
You know what? In 2014, this is where I think architecture and, you know, society and everything starts coming together, right? As a person that practices architecture. In 2014, I got a call from the Diocese of San Jose. Hey, you know, we just lost a beautiful church. You know, it was in the corner of Jackson and 12th. And we're looking for an architect to rebuild it. And I looked at the project and I'm like, oh, wow, you know, this is going to be something that transcends as well. Because a church, when you design and build a church, is not a typical building, right? You have to talk to the community. You have to talk to the clergy. You got to talk to the city, right? And I know that building is going to be there for at least 200 years. So I had that in mind, you know, the whole time.
Wow.
So, you know, it's a small building in terms of footprint.
Yeah.
It holds about 350 people, but just the meaning behind it, right?
Yeah.
And so that's one of my favorite projects, Mauricio.
Yeah.
You know, the first of all, that the diocese called me.
Yeah,
you know, for that kind of project.
Yes. That's that. And Diosito te oyó. Te portaste bien. He's like, let me.
The challenging part for that project is that the original building was built in 1912. This is before planning department even existed. The planning department, right?
Yeah.
So what we had to do is submit plans within 6 months of the fire, so they don't lose their condition, their legal non-conforming use, right? Yeah. If we didn't do that, then the church could not be really rebuilt, you know, the way it was before. So, and this is like 3 months after the church build, we got the contract. So we had 3 months to execute a design, meet with the community, get it into the city, and just, you know, after that, you know, get the building permits ready for construction. But it was really stressful, really fast-paced, but at the same time, very meaningful because I was meeting with hundreds of people, you know, showing the design, and they had to get input from them and, you know, come back, you know, a few days later with a different design.
We're developers. We know what it takes. It takes, just to build a building or to entitle a property, 18 to 24 months.
Exactly, yes.
Just to get it through the next process, another 18 to 24. By the time you're set in the first round, you're 3 years in. Exactly. So you got to have patient. You got to have a patient stomach, and then to build it is another 18 to 24 months. So a whole cycle for development can take 3 to 5 years.
Exactly.
Up to 10 years. I mean, some projects that we're working on right now are finally going to be breaking ground, and it's just crazy.
So imagine doing this for a church in 6 months.
Yeah. No. That's why that was probably the fastest, one of your most fastest projects you ever did. I'm telling you, God was Godspeed. You were on Godspeed time right now. So,
and this is where I think all the training that you had in the past and your experience and talking to the community, it all starts coming together. Because one thing that we couldn't do, back to your point of, we cannot build churches the way people used to build them, right, with chisel stone and details.
Nope.
So what we had to do in this instance is combine a lot of the classical architecture with modern pieces of design, right?
Yeah.
And from the start, I think we had that in mind, and the client was buying into it. because I told him from day one, we cannot rebuild the same church the way it was. So it's just way too many details of old Italian craftsmanship that they're not around anymore right now. Right now, the workforce is different. It's less specialized. It's less, you know.
Doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist anymore.
So we had to use a lot of creativity to come put all that together. And
everything's glass now. Everything's glass buildings. Exactly. You know, I mean, you can still make pretty buildings out of glass. But there's no more detail into it. I mean, just your ground floors have to be detailed. I don't know. The architecture is changing, and then obviously the way that we build things are changing. The materials are changing. I mean, next thing you know, we're going to be in buildings that are hovering. I don't know. The world is transforming. So, anyhow, so you're growing. You guys are in here in San Jose downtown. You guys, your office is. Your company's growing. Your other partner's not here today, so you brought in one of your team captains.
Parisa.
So give us a little background on you. Where do you come from, by the way?
I'm from Iran.
Iran, okay. So were you born in Iran?
Yes.
Okay.
So I moved to Turkey when I was 10 years old.
Okay.
And then I lived there for 5 years. I went to school, learned another language, and then I came to America, you know, around 2010.
Okay.
And then, you know, I lived here with my mom and my sister, only us. And then I went to, you know, work, school, and then I went to UC Berkeley.
Nice.
Yes.
One of my dream schools. I didn't get accepted. So, you know, it was USC, Berkeley, and I ended up at San Jose. So anyway.
Well, I applied only to UC Berkeley because I was pretty confident on it.
All right.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
And then my mom, she was like, you don't want to apply to other schools? I'm like, no, I'll get in. Because that was my dream school.
Good
and
for
then, you.
You
know, she was like, well, if you don't get in, do you have a plan B? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I
didn't apply myself that way. Well, so you got accepted to UC Berkeley?
Yes.
Why architect? I mean,
so
at UC Berkeley, does it have an architect?
Oh, yeah, they do. Okay. They have a really good one, too.
I know they have a great business program and a great law program. I didn't know architecture was.
No, it was really good, too. I think this is within the top 5 or 10. Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Schools,
so,
architecture.
Yeah, just like how you said it. Initially, when I got accepted, I went in for the orientation and all that.
Good for you.
So when I went to Berkeley, same story happened. They told us, hey, you know, you have like, let's say 20 hours of class, but expect to work 50 hours after the class, you know?
Yeah.
And then everyone got scared. That was just the first day. And then they said that's the way that they want to filter, you know, all the students.
Yeah,
and they
who's
wanna...
real and who's not.
Exactly.
Yeah, no.
So I stick around, and then I graduated in 2019, and then
how long did it take you to get to university?
2 years, because I was a transfer.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
all right,
so I went to college first, and then I went to university.
Nice.
Yes,
all right.
And then ever since, I've been doing architecture. You know, and
is this the first firm you're working with now? Or
no.
So, Berkeley, what was the first firm you worked with? You don't have to say the names here.
No.
We're not trying to.
It was,
there's no free promotions on this show. You know,
yes.
If they want, they got to pay. So
it was a bigger firm. It was about 90. They were mainly focusing on, you know, schools and then like universities and things like that. So it was like a lot of repetition for me, and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got introduced to Ramiro, and then like, you know, I had a couple of interviews. It was actually hard to get into Topa.
Okay. All right.
Like
good.
I like that.
Make it difficult.
Yeah. He is good at like picking the personalities, and he wants to make sure that everyone blends in, and then I fit within the culture, and he did a great job. And then like, you know, at first I had like a very formal interview with Ramiro and Jorge.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it was a second interview that, you know, I had with you guys.
So architecture, you're working with a firm, you're doing repetitive stuff. You interview with Ramiro.
Yeah.
You get the opportunity. What happens next?
After that, I started working at Topa, and I got exposed to every single portion of owning a firm and like doing architecture.
Nice.
Because like Ramiro just doesn't tell me like, hey, Parisa, just focused on this, like just do drafting. He doesn't do that. He's like, what do you like? And I'm like, I like construction. I like to do technical stuff. And then he puts me right there. And then he's like, well, you know, let's get you introduced to the financial aspect. You know, everything.
Yeah, learn the business.
Exactly.
Good. Yeah.
And then he says,
that's
like,
called mentorship now.
Exactly.
At that point, you're not an employee. You're being mentored.
I'm part of the family.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
So,
now he's turning on. If your entrepreneurial spirit is not on, or your business owner spirit is not on, you're now waking up to those opportunities, right? Because you're learning A to Z.
Exactly.
You know? And that's the best part, because if you learn A to Z, if one day you decide you want to go fly on your own or become a bigger part of something, you have the background and the knowledge for it. So,
yes.
Yeah.
So that's where I am right now.
What's your favorite part of architecture?
Construction.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, when we put the cranes up on our first buildings, We're gonna take you up on one of the cranes. Have you ever been up on a crane?
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're gonna walk all the way 23 stories up on a crane and go look down and say, "This is what the building is gonna look like." Because we do construction and development as well, so we're excited about that. And wow, okay. And so you see a future, and this is what you like.
Yes.
Definitely. And when you say construction, is there anything specific? Because there's construction management, there's construction, you know, the actual hands-on. What part of the construction trade do you like?
I am not fully exposed to construction just yet, so I'm developing my interest. But I think I like to be the project manager or, like, managing, like, you know, construction field.
Nice.
And I think I like to coordinate, like, all the fields and, like, solve problems and, like, get technical. So I think that's the aspect that I like.
Good. Good. Any siblings?
I do. I have a sister.
Okay. And what does she do?
She did medical assisting. Oh, wow. But yeah, she doesn't live with me right now. She's back in my country.
And mom?
Mom, she owns a hair salon.
There you go. Entrepreneur right there. Yeah. I knew. So I had to dig. And father, if you don't mind me asking?
He's back in my country. Not
got it. Got it. So, yeah. There is some entrepreneurship in you. My mom was actually a hairdresser. She was a business owner, hair salon. And she woke my spirit up in both real estate and just owning my own business. Never working for anybody. So my journey started when I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
And I've never had a job in my life aside from my own businesses. And I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. My freedom is my freedom. And the people that I work with, not work for, I learn, right? So the way I look at you guys is your teammates, right? Your team captain. I heard that when we talked about it. You said you're team captain?
Job captain.
Job captain, yeah. I mean, that to me, it's that says a lot right there. Just the way you're even internally describing yourselves, the leadership level and the stuff that you got a great journey ahead of you. So good.
Thank you.
And I'm glad that you're here on the show today and
thank you for
having me. Participating with our conversation. So good.
So one of the things, Mauricio, just to kind of carry on what Parisa was saying is that when I put a team together, we all done mistakes in the past, right? You learn from their mistakes.
Sometimes, you learn from your mistakes.
Sometimes you just hire people because you need somebody that can, you know, type or, you know, move a mouse and draft, right? And I done a mistake, you know, many years ago when I just hired people just to hire them, right?
Yeah. Sometimes we hire our friends and our family.
Oh,
and
those
are the worst.
Those are the worst.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, it depends. Sometimes it works out. You know, I have a great example in here. We got a producer in here that her son works with him or with her, and they're an amazing team. So you just sometimes it works, and sometimes you're just like,
Exactly. So when I saw a lot of difficulties, you know, on the team that I had built in the past, I told myself, man, you know, from this point forward, I'm going to build a good team. You
yeah.
know, because we all know as entrepreneurs, Mauricio, that the better team you build, that's pretty the key to everything, right? You know, you can't do it all yourself.
That's it.
Otherwise,
yeah.
you could be a sole proprietorship. But you know, when you start building a team, I tell myself that I have to hire people better than me. Otherwise, what's the point, right?
That's right.
So when I started dismantling the old team and started bringing new people together, one of the first things that I wanted from all team members was, do you have an entrepreneurial spirit?
Yes.
You
know? Amen you know? To that. Yes. You know, when I do my hiring, the same thing. I tell people, I don't want employees. I want business partners or people that I don't have to hold your hand.
Exactly.
I want people that are going to self-start themselves, that are going to wake up with motivation, that they want to see greater things, not just for themselves, but for everyone around them.
I tell them,
and that's how we win.
Yeah,
that's how we win.
Put me out of a job. That's what I want. You know,
yeah.
I don't want to be doing this forever. So you guys got to take over, and then I'm here to mentor.
Yeah.
And that's what Parisa says, that it is hard to get into Topa. If you're not the right person, it is hard. You know.
Yeah.
But the first thing that I do is just talk to people. You know, see what they're interested on. See what their skills are, of course, you know, look at their resume, look at their, you know, look at the past employers that they had.
Yeah.
And see if they're a good fit for the culture.
Yeah.
Because if you have a good culture, we're a small team, you know, we're going to do great. If we don't have, we bring new people that don't fit in the culture, it's going to disrupt everything they were doing, right?
Yeah.
So about 4 years ago, almost 4 years ago, I brought in Jorge. You know, he couldn't be here today, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
Jorge got cut out of the show. He could have. Exactly. He doesn't know. This is going to be one of the greatest shows, and he missed it.
He missed
it. But whatever.
You'll have him by himself later on. And so, you know, I kind of did the same thing, right? I went through like 4 or 5 interviews with him before I offered him a job. And when I offered him, it was a done deal. I had no questions in my mind. And for him as well, he
I remember actually when you brought him on board. I remember when you I think he was like a week on board. You had introduced me at the office.
That's right.
Your old office on North First Street. Exactly.
So, and then after that, you know, Cynthia came in, you know, then Parisa came in. No, Gino, then Parisa. But I did the same process, right? Yeah. And just talk to people, make sure that they have the right skill, they have the right attitude. And for me, the biggest thing is, can I rely on you, right?
Yes.
If I'm not here, do I have to look over your shoulder to get stuff done, right? Yeah. Do I have to, you know, push you to get stuff done? The answer is no, you know, no to all that stuff.
Yeah.
So what I want is people that are self-starters,
yes.
that are motivated,
yes.
that can get the job done, and, you know, do this for themselves. That's what I tell everybody. Yeah. Don't do this for me, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you do this for you, you know, the company is going to do good, and you're going to benefit from that.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to, you know, raise your salary. We're going to give you fat bonuses. You know, we're
yeah.
going to, you know, expose you in front of great people like
I'm in.
Like the studio, like Mauricio.
Yeah.
But I can't do that with people that aren't up to the task.
Yeah.
You know? So,
Mauricio's
right. You know, I cherry pick everybody.
You have to.
But the team that I have right now is an amazing team. We're doing great. We have a lot of fun, you know, doing projects together. You know, we all show up to the office every day, and, you know, we have fun, and we work hard at the same time.
Yeah.
The office is doing great.
Yeah. Part of why I enjoy being in my office environment is because the people, one, the people that I'm surrounded with, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love the energy that I'm around. They always say, you know, you are who you hang around with.
Mm-hmm.
And I've understand that ideology now more and more because the people that I've embraced, the people that I'm surrounded with, some people will never experience that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very blessed. I'm very grateful. And when I come in every day, every morning, I come in with excitement, with energy.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone in there has got bad energy, I go and I shake them up, right? Because
yeah.
we that's what we do as teammates too.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm ever in a down, if I ever feel that way, my teammates do the same thing. They'll come in, hey, your energy's low. What's wrong with you? Let's go have a drink. All right, let's go. You know, like the drink always solves everything, right? Just sometimes, but we keep it fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you walk into the office, it's fun, and we always keep the energy. We all love to make money.
Mm-hmm.
We're all surrounded by people that want to do great things. And the people that I'm working with right now that have this big vision for downtown San Jose, for Silicon Valley, to change the cityscape. I mean, we're changing cityscape now.
Yeah.
That, to me, is to have your fingerprints. And that's really what architecture does. You're putting your fingerprints on different things.
Yes.
When I build, because I love the construction side too. I one of my business partners. I've been working with him for 20 years. Actually, we're celebrating 20 years of friendship and partnership now. I've learned a lot of construction, and I have my fingerprints on a lot of great projects. Club Autosport in Silicon Valley, Toyota, BMW, Mercedes, a bunch of buildings owned by some big landlords in mm-hmm. Silicon Valley. Some real fun projects, my old nightclub, the Vault Ultra Lounge, that, you know, when I look at that building, I'm like, my fingerprints are all over that place. And now some of the bigger projects that we're going to be seeing go up, it's very transforming, right? And kind of leads to where I wanted to share with the community is
mm-hmm.
one of the projects that you presented not too long ago, the, you know, one of the iconic projects or iconic pieces of San Jose was the light tower.
Yes.
And we don't have to go into all the competition and all the other things that happened because it's irrelevant
yes.
at this point, because we want to show what the past looked like and what the future could look like.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we have to get everyone on the same page. And
mm-hmm.
the light tower, I don't know if you renamed it or anything, but it's the light tower of San Jose.
I just called that particular concept the new San Jose Light Tower.
There you go. Simple.
Yeah, simple.
Simple. So tell us what even inspired you to even think. I mean, to me, it's the most common sense, most simplest thing, and the most thing that would make the sense of thinking of San Jose, because it was iconic. I'm
yes.
a supporter of the Light Tower,
yes.
and I want to see that thing happen.
So when the competition came along, I want to say 2017, 2018, I can't remember.
Yeah.
I think it was right before COVID. I was really excited. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going to do something. We're gonna do something cool. Then, in a little bit of dismay, you know, let me put it this way, you know, I saw what they have chosen, right?
Yeah.
And the way that it evolved. And I'm like, I don't know, you know, this just doesn't seem to be San Jose for me, right?
Doesn't represent San Jose.
Represent
it wasn't even
it,
designed so by somebody that's
exactly,
ever been
you know?
To San Jose.
So out of that whole thing, I told my team, I was working with one of our newest designers, Gino. He's very creative, very, very great guy, you know. And I told Gino, hey, Gino, you know, we got to come up with something better than this stuff, right? And what is it? And I had all these ideas cooking in my brain for a long time, right? What this thing could be, what is it, right? And I remember, you know, even when I was a student in West Valley, reading about the San Jose Electric Light Tower that
yes.
was built in the 1890s. by a local engineer, and it was commissioned, I think, by the Knight Ritter, by the Mercury News, you know, the owners of the Mercury News back then. I think it was commissioned by them, you know, to build this light tower.
Yeah.
We all know the story that, you know, it was built, you know, they put a big light on top, and it was lighting all downtown.
Yeah.
It was up for like 15 years or so, and then in a storm, it fell down, right?
Yeah.
And that was the end of the San Jose Light Tower, but it's very well documented.
Yeah.
There was an article that came out where they talked that that light tower might have influenced the design of the Eiffel Tower.
You know? Yes.
So,
yeah.
And this, you know, it's well known, right? So I told myself, why can we just not bring something that iconic back? You know, it's not that hard. So just working with my designer, Gino, I told, hey, Gino, you know, why don't we look at icons around the world? So we looked at, you know, the Statue of Liberty. We looked at the St. Louis Arc. You know, we looked at many different things where it's inspiration. And the light tower, you know, hand in hand, you know, at the same time.
Yeah.
And I don't know, we were just sketching around, you know, doing all these ideas. And I told them, why don't we try to combine the old light tower, the original, with the St. Louis Arch, right? Something really stainless steel, modern, you know,
iconic.
Clean lines, iconic.
Yes, yes.
And we married those two together. And I looked at the design and I'm like, excuse my language, holy shit, this has a lot of potential, right? I was like, wow, you know, it's very sculptural. You know, it has a lot of history.
Yes.
It's very meaningful to San Jose.
Yeah.
And we put it together, right? We put this thing together. You know, we photoshopped it and do a few videos using the technology that we use for design.
Yes.
And I just started circulating that thing out of nowhere. Like, hey, you know, this is my idea, you know, about what San Jose needs as an icon.
Yeah.
And it got a lot of positive reactions.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of reactions.
Yeah.
You know, you're one of the people that reached
when
out.
When I saw it, I was like, hey, what's this? And how can I become a part
exactly.
of it?
Exactly. You know, we presented some of the, I'm going to say the names of some of the local politicians.
Yeah.
And they're
yeah.
supporting of this thing.
Yeah.
Right? So here we are with a great idea, and we need to build this.
Yeah.
But the inspiration really was we need to bring something that comes out of San Jose. You know,
yeah.
There's no other way to put it.
San Francisco has Coit Tower.
Exactly,
they have the Golden Gate Bridge.
You know,
they try to do it with the Bay Bridge with one of the pieces. You know, the connector, the new piece, which I think they failed on that one, but it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a lot of great pieces. There's the Transamerica Building. There's a lot of iconic pieces in San Francisco. Oakland, I don't, you know, you got Jack London Square. I don't think you have any really iconic pieces. Maybe some of the older architectural buildings. Mm-hmm. San Jose, I mean, unfortunately, they've destroyed a lot of the old buildings and they've gotten rid of a lot of the historical beauty of the San Jose. So we got to build stuff. And to me, the light tower was one of the first things that I learned about when I moved to San Jose. It was like the light tower. I was like, what if this thing existed on the street? Because, and the reason why I started to learn more is because one of my clubs was on Santa Clara and Market. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, I think Santa Clara and Market was the actual place where
was the original location.
Original
right?
location
yes,
of this tower.
Market.
So
right.
it just made a lot of sense. How cool would it have? And then but I never imagined someone recreating it. When your design started circulating, I was like, I want to be a part of that. I want to fundraise for this thing. I want to be a part. I want my fingerprints to be on something like this.
There you go.
Because that's something that's going to live forever.
Yes.
Right? 100+ years, people are going to be talking about this. And
exactly.
to have your name attached to that.
That's amazing.
And I believe that.
And it needed to be ingrown, as Mauricio. It needed to be, you know, grown from within San Jose.
Yeah.
Right? That's why I think.
It's got to be organically grown,
exactly.
rooted from San Jose. Mm-hmm. It's got to have the roots, and I think that there's just no reason why it doesn't make any sense. If anyone is opposed to it, they just lack of creativity and understanding of what true downtown culture
is. I haven't heard any opposition. Actually, a lot of support, even from the from people at City Hall.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good moment in time for us to have this conversation.
I'm in.
Hopefully, to push it forward. For it to get better.
I already told you I'm going to be one of your biggest fundraisers. I'm going to advocate for that, and I definitely want to be a big part of that, because it will bring community. It'll bring people together, and again, it'll make a statement. I always tell we're changing the narrative right now of Silicon Valley, specifically San Jose, because the narrative for San Jose for many years has been not so positive.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we have the ability, it's like a plain canvas right now.
Yes.
There's a lot of great things that are happening coming out of this the pandemic or post-pandemic. Just gives us the ability to change the narrative, because people haven't experienced San Jose the way they could and should and will.
Yes.
So we have the opportunity right now to do that. So I'm excited. I'm excited about about
the things.
Yeah, the possibilities. And I don't see why anybody would say no. And if they try to put roadblocks, knowing the people that we know and the relationships that we have, I think that we could push for a version of it.
Yes, you know. Build.
So we'll see where that goes. But yes. Definitely give me the background on it. Right now, it's just in conceptual drawings, obviously.
It's a conceptual design, yes.
Yeah.
So,
what do you think something like that would cost to build if we were to...
You know what? I had this conversation with the city of San Jose. And what we concluded is that the actual structure might be around $25 million.
Okay.
And then improvements to the street and all the other landscape and everything else, maybe another $15 million. So maybe anywhere between $40 and $50
million. $50 million.
Which...
just going to write a check right now, exactly, $50 million.
Yeah, let's
go. I just want to see if the city says, yes, let's do it, right? Like, yes. You got to call them out on it, right?
Yes.
You know, yeah, we're funded. We're ready to go. Would you guys give us, you know, what would be the next steps? And then you really see...
Yes.
You really see what happens. So, exactly. No.
But what I think is that it sounds expensive, and people might say, hey, you know, that money should go to, you know, a homeless, housing for the homeless or affordable housing or other projects. But I also think that people should have pride in their community.
That's right.
They should have, you know, civic pride.
Yes.
And having an icon, you know, that represents an entire city or region, it creates civic pride.
Yeah.
And therefore, it is going to create economic development because people will come, you know, to look at this tower and take pictures and, you know,
it'll be a global destination.
Exactly. and again, it has to be rooted from San Jose. That's my biggest thing. We don't need anybody else from around the world to tell us what needs to get be built here. We know our city. We could do this.
Let me ask you, there's measures and bonds that can that thing qualify under a bond? I mean, maybe a tax bond or some kind of special tax?
I've been trying to connect it to with the BART, you know, because there's billions of dollars
being
spent in BART.
I mean, BART's going to be right underneath it. Yeah.
Right? So why not maybe working with them in the next 10 years, we could actually get funded by... Or at least partially by BART.
We need to talk to somebody.
The other piece will be, you know, the city itself. You know, I know.
What about privately funded? What I mean, what?
Oh, that'd be the best way to do it.
Why not create something that can privately fund this thing? I mean,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes we rely on others or we rely on government to kind of create.
Much.
Yeah, no,
yes.
It just, you know, the city's got enough problems on their hands right now. I mean, the homeless community right now is rampant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing a lot of the, you know, resources being spent on that. And I'd rather have clean streets and let them focus on that right now.
Oh, yeah, that is needed too.
You know, the one of the things that I'm working with one of the organizations, nonprofits downtown, UVI, mm-hmm. is focusing on safe cleanliness and vibrancy, right?
Yes.
So part of my role in our group is to bring vibrancy back to downtown.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been gone. It's just we need to somehow tie it back in and bring it back to the downtown core.
Yeah.
And I think everything takes time. So I consider myself a vibrancy developer or a social planning developer because while these guys are planning the entitlements for pieces of land and to go vertical, we have to think about what's going to go on the ground floor to maintain the amenities, to keep these people interactive and mm-hmm. interested in being in these areas. So, yeah, we're going to work on that. We're going to make a push for that and really.
What I was saying, Mauricio, is that, again, going back to civic pride, right, and, mm-hmm. and who owns the land around San Jose. And I would say that it should be part of the new developers that could fund this art piece because that's what it is, a piece of art, right?
Yeah.
It's a sculpture.
Yeah, we got some great developers downtown, too.
Yes, I don't see why not, you know, the J. Pauls of the world.
Yeah.
West Banks of the world, you know, they're spending so much money.
Well, they put $6 million on a piece of art that's still fenced in SoFA District, you know. So I'm not talking bad. They're our partners, but we got $6 million parked over there and it's rotting.
Yes.
You know, imagine that would be one.
Is that the pavilion?
Yeah, the pavilion. Wow, yeah. Unfortunately, it's just, and, you know, we'll be activating it this year. But just to think about $6 million for that piece to be there, and then it's unfortunate. Just,
and it's
but again, it's timing.
It's going to go at some point, right?
Yeah, eventually so. it's gonna be picked up and moved. But again, it's just timing, right? It's mm-hmm. what happens in this world. And I think right now, a perfect opportunity for something to be reintroduced, reignite that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And with the proper people behind it, I think that can eventually become a dream come true. Because for you, it's a dream. It's a vision.
You know, I just want to make San Jose a better place to live.
Amen.
You know?
Amen to that. Yes.
Know, with my creativity and my designs, you know, I could put a little piece to that.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of
creativity. Yeah, your name will live forever.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's not the point.
What No.
It's like, hey, you know.
I get it, but we still want, some legacy behind this, you know? I mean, we don't want to do all this hard work and not get some credit, right?
Exactly.
We gotta take it too. We gotta own some of the successes that we do. And that's why you know, when we talk about sharing our relationships, the people that we work with, mm-hmm. it's because we want to help lift. And at the same time, hey, guys, we know how to do it, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, yeah. if you want to go back to history and whether it's the Persian Empire or mm-hmm. the Aztec warriors or the Mayans, I mean, they were building pyramids and temples, and we were building.
Years ago, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, we know how to do it too. So,
yeah. So I would say that this could be a perfect opportunity for a private public, you know,
yeah.
project. You know, the private, you know, private entities could put the money and yeah. fund it, and the city could put the land.
Well, when I become a billionaire, I'm gonna write a check to that and make sure that it happens, because that's my goal.
Let's get to work. Let's do this.
So in wrapping up our conversation, let's kind of touch base on what's next. You know, what do you see? Yeah. I know that we talked about expansion and you're going to grow your team.
Yes.
You know, what do you foresee? I know you're talking about next levels of even where you're buying your own buildings now, you know, or you're building
yes.
for.
So it goes back, you know, I hate to go back in time, Mauricio, yeah. but part of the conversation.
No, well, that's how we reflect, right? We look back and we're like.
I look back and I'm like, God, you know, again, coming from a small town in Mexico, you know, going through the hard journey of yeah. becoming an architect right here in the United States. It wasn't easy, right? Starting my firm out of my garage, that's how I started. You know? Yeah. After 7 years of working for somebody else, I'm like, you know what? I could do this by myself. And yeah. I did not care if I had to work 16-hour days, because I did.
Yeah.
You know, for months straight, you know, without weekends, you know, yeah. because I needed to.
I don't even know. Weekends we work. Know? I work 365. Like, exactly. You know, now, I mean, obviously, you know? I'm a little bit older yeah. now. And Sundays is my day of break. But
there you go.
Now, even then, I'm thinking work. I'm like, it never turns off. Never stops.
But even going through that journey, right, and you know, starting out of my garage with no people around, yeah. just myself, and slowly building a name, because when you go on your own, you know this, right?
Yeah.
Nobody knows you. Nobody trusts you. Why would somebody trust me with a $300 million project? They don't know who I am, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, starting small and building up, that's been my philosophy in life, right?
Yeah.
So now that where we are as a firm, we're really well positioned. You know, I think that, you know, 23 was one of the great years we ever had. You know, 24 looks the same. And this is in the middle of a quote-unquote
recession.
And,
yeah.
you know, we got more work that we can handle, right?
Yeah.
And so what we're doing now is we're in growth mode, you know.
Good.
And that's what I, you know, need and want to partner with great people like yourself.
Yeah,
and
thank
people
you.
That we know together to continue the growth.
Yes.
The next steps for Topa will be to continue building a great team slowly but surely. You know, I am at the end of my lease at the office space where I am now. We're looking to buy a building.
Nice.
And move the office there, you know, nice. In our own building. I know for an architect, it's sometimes hard to do that, right? You know, it's funny, but...
I've honestly, there's very small handful of people or groups, architectural mm-hmm. firms that I know that are surviving.
Yes.
And then they sometimes they just implode, and then the founder becomes independent again.
Mm-hmm. And start all over again,
you know?
Which is not fun. No.
Yeah, it's a love-hate relationship. So yeah, no.
So call it luck, call it hard work, call it, you know, dealing with the right people, having yeah. the right employees, whatever that is. We're in the position that, you know, I see nothing but great things happening with Top Architecture and what Top Architecture is going to do in the future, which is not only architecture. Pariso talked about, you know, construction. So we're looking into opening the construction division.
Nice. Design build.
Design build.
Design yeah. build. There you go.
Pariso will lead that construction division. That's,
nice.
That's the goal for her. And we'll we need to make sure we make it happen, because we want to not only hire good people, we want to keep them, and we want them to grow.
Yeah.
You know? I don't want anybody to working for Topa that they're going to be in the same position for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
No way.
That is a true employee mindset.
Yes.
You have to have... Anybody that works around me or around you or even with you, you know, you're going to be bringing in team other teammates. They got to have that same mindset that you have, that they want growth, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
If they're just there sitting, just getting a paycheck, mm-hmm. I mean, you're doing good, but at the same time, you don't want to do good. You want to do great, and
yes.
you got to have great yeah. people around you in order to everybody to have that synergy, that excitement around it. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
you want people to feel ownership of things, not just.
So one of the things that I look for is ambition. You know,
yes.
And that's one of the questions that I ask them in the interview, and even in their yearly reviews. You know, what's your ambition? What do you want to do? You know, what drives you? Why do you come to work every day? You know, and it can be just money. It can be, you know, because I have to, because otherwise I wouldn't hire them, you know.
Yeah.
But it has to be something beyond that. And we're building a great team. Good. And we're going to continue to build a great team. So the future will be, let's move to our new space.
Yeah.
And let's hire some great, you know, project architects, project managers.
Nice.
Let's team up with great developers, and let's change the city of San Jose for the better.
Let's go.
With Latino influence and women influence.
And women influence. Yes. Yeah. No, I like that part. I think that that's a great combination.
One of the things, Marisa, that I never looked in, you know, when I hire people, I never look into gender or I never look into race. And, you know, I try to blind myself out of that, right?
Amen. Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, you have to hire what's out there.
Yeah.
And without even trying, you know, just I need this position. I interview a few people. We have a great, diverse team that is young, that is ambitious. And that is doing great things, right?
Well, you put it out there, so it comes back, right? You're attracting it, right? You want to you're really, that's the law of attraction, right?
Yes.
You want great people to do great things, and you have a certain vision, mm-hmm. and you'll attract them, right?
Yes,
it's just like what I've done in my businesses. You know, I want certain people to be working with me. I want certain talents, and in order, going back to the earlier conversation, you got to build a team, mm-hmm. and you're only as good as your team.
As your team, yes.
Period.
Exactly.
This is only as good as our team, and it only gets better because we're all ambitious. We all want great, mm-hmm. right? So it'll continue to grow and evolve, mm-hmm. just like your company is going to continue to grow and evolve.
The
goal is to get bigger.
To get bigger, yeah. So when you know, every day I work in the office. We all come to work, by the way. You know, we have no mandate of coming to work or not, but people just enjoy, you know, going to the office, and we all do it, right? But when I come in every day, Mauricio, I look around and go, you know, wow, this is great. You know, this is the face of San Jose.
Yeah.
We got Caucasians, you know, we got Latinos, we got, you know, Middle Eastern. And hopefully we'll get any other race, you know, that comes through the door that is, you know.
Anyone that's qualified. Anyone that's qualified. They wants to be. They wants to be. Ambition, yeah. I'm the same way. I grew up in a time in my life where no color lines, no gender lines, no nothing. I mean, that's the way I grew up. So I got along with everybody.
Yep.
So I come from that school, right? I started at a young age, and that's why when I walk into a room, I walk in with confidence.
Yes.
And I don't allow, I have a saying. I said, nothing or anyone will get in the way of my success. Mm-hmm. Nothing or anyone. So meaning nothing, no problem, no what's happening in the world or anyone, family, friends, anyone the most closest people, nothing will get in the way of my success, period. Yeah. And that's my motto. Mm-hmm. That's my mantra. That's what I go into and I do everything at the highest level that I can. And I think about it, I'm like, why? Because we only live once.
Yeah.
And What else, right? I mean, I look at sometimes people in the world and I'm just like, wow, just, you know, you can see it in their body, their face, their eyes, their language. It's like some people are just, they've settled or they just haven't broken out of those mindsets to get to greater things. And I think that mm-hmm. being in the field that you're in, architectural design, that's multidimensional thinking, mm-hmm. entrepreneurial, multiple businesses, I got a multidimensional think, mm-hmm. right? How do we come up with the design of this can? Exactly. How do we make it so it doesn't collapse?
Yep.
There's the branding part. I mean, there's all kinds of components that come to that.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
Anyhow, that we can go on and on. So yeah. I'm again very excited to see your company's going.
So that's one direction.
Yeah.
You know, the architecture, we're going to go strong in it. You know, we're going to start the construction division. We also have a gentleman interested in interior design. You know,
nice.
Which is going to be another part of the business in the future. So. Even though it's still related to architecture, I'm trying to balance, you know, growing those different aspects of the company, right? And it's really exciting, you know, for us to design, you know, the structure of the building, you know, hopefully also do the furnishing and artwork with interior design and eventually build it, you know. So we could be a one-stop shop.
I get lost when I walk into an architect firm or a design firm. I'm like, because all the toys there, all the cool materials, and then I start hearing the prices. I'm like, oh, you guys are not. That's I'm about quality, but I'm like, some of these things can get very pricey.
Get expensive, yeah.
I'm definitely, like, but, you know, hey. You want to spend that kind of money? You know, that's good. I love it. But yeah, no, definitely. So, well, good. Anything else that's on the horizon then? Or
I think for now that's it. You know, continue to hire great people, continue to do great work. And we're here to change the face of San Jose to something better. You know,
well, we're actually on that path.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're already on the path. One of the things that actually I've always been interested in is art, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know this, Mauricio, but I'm a board member of Local Color. You know Local Color.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yes. Yeah. I didn't know you were a board member. And, yeah, we're actually going to be working with them this year.
Yeah, there we go. So one of the things that I do with advise them is to make sure that they're financially sound, because you cannot do art if you're not financially sound. That way you cannot do architecture if you're not financially sound. So that's my contribution to them. I sit on their board. I give them a little advice. But one of the things that I want to start doing with them in my projects is bringing artists into the project early on in the process. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking to some people about a big project, and it's with an internationally known architect. And what I told them in the beginning is like, hey, this is an artistic project from the beginning, from the conceptual. We should bring artists to consult with us early on in the project so that the art at the end is cohesive and is integrated with the architecture. Because what happens many times, you know, somebody develops a piece of land and they say, okay, this corner is going to be for art, or this wall is going to be for a mural. But there's no integration. They come in later. You know, they come as an afterthought.
Right.
So one of the things that I'm doing now, working with them as a board member and also bringing them into collaborator with us early on in the projects, is to make sure that the art is more integrated and cohesive with the entire project.
Very exciting
stuff. So we're going to talk offline about this stuff.
Well, good. I'm in.
I think that is the future of us.
Yeah.
It's multidimensional.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to say, Mauricio, you know this, that, you know, I don't know why, and I think Latinos, we need to step it up a little bit. But for some reason, we're the only 100% Latino-owned firm in San Jose.
You know,
of architecture, which is a little strange. You know, there should be more. And I'm here to help anybody who's interested in the profession to become successful.
Good.
And not be my competition, because we're not, you know, here to compete. We're here to help each other. But it's very strange, you know. And I want to put it out there that the industry is difficult. The career is difficult. You know, it's multidimensional. It could be very challenging. But don't give up, because if somebody like me, which I don't consider myself that smart, honestly, right? I came from a small town, you know, raising cows.
If you could do it, anybody else can do it,
exactly,
right?
Yep. But I think that the thing that maybe differentiates people like me with other is tenacity, right? You have to get up every single day and look forward, and stay on track.
Always.
You know? I know people that left architecture for whatever reason. They try to come back years later. It doesn't work. You know, you're out of touch. You might as well do something else, right? But that consistency is what brought us here. And I'm just excited about, you know, the new generation, right?
Yeah. No. That's exciting. But he said you're going to do great things.
Yes,
you know,
lead part of the firm. And
that's it.
Yeah. I want to retire.
Yeah. I think that it doesn't matter on what business you're in. The infrastructure will always have, there's always a commonality, whether you're in architecture, whether you're in the business of any business model you're in. Consistency is always going to win. I always tell my teammates, I say, hey, consistency, things in sporadics are not going to, there's no consistency. You're not going to have enough data or enough momentum to get it. If you're up, down too many times, you got to be like, keep going and going harder every time. And the resiliency and the tenacity. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what keeps me going. I know that I want more in life. What I've noticed now is that the more people that I can impact, the more uplifting that I feel. And again, I just, it's, I could be doing other things, but right now I enjoy doing this. I love being, this is my space. And I just want to continue to share great stories of great people.
Thank you.
Thank you. And good luck.
Thank you so much. You
have a great path. You know, you just got to continue to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll do great things. And then, you know, having great mentors. I think that my suggestion would be that if construction is something big, that you find a construction, you may have a partner or a construction firm that you work with where you start getting some mentorship, start sitting on some of their projects.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I learned construction management.
Yep.
I got to sit on some great projects. And, you know, when I started, I have two projects right now. Each is they're $120 million each project. So I'm at $240 million that I'm sitting on right now that I could be, that we're just waiting for funding to go, and those things will start going vertical. That's just on my side. And then $2 billion total will be $5 billion in the downtown core. I mean, that's, you're starting to play in a different league. You're starting to surround yourself with different thinkers.
Yeah.
So exciting times. Anyway,
exciting
so
times.
I want to thank you both again for being here. Mauricio Mejia Live. We do this every week. We're a podcast now. It's our third season. And we're on all the social media channels. And I want to say thank you to my producer. She's a great team leader. And she's got her own great show, too. So anyhow, I want to say thank you to everyone and appreciate you guys being here.
Thank you. Right. Mauricio Mejia Live.